Hello and welcome to Diva of Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we are very pleased and thrilled to have with us Marie Cheatham. Marie originated the role of Marie Horton on the very first episode of Days of Our Lives in 1965, and she played that role for the following 8 years. After that, she played the role of Stephanie Wyatt on Search for Tomorrow for 10 years, earning 3 Emmy nominations. She also played roles on the daytime soaps General Hospital, Port Charles, and Passions. She has had numerous credits in primetime and film, including the films Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Beetlejuice, among primetime shows Desperate Housewives and The West Wing, among many, many others. Feel free to call in to ask Marie a question at 914-338-1239. You can also call using Skype. Our chat room is now open. To participate in the chat, you must register. Check us out every day at our blog at divaofdaysofourlives.blogspot.com. You can also join us on Facebook at Diva Days. So, Marie, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming tonight.
Well, it's lovely to be asked.
Oh, well, we're so excited with the return of so many of the characters for the Frances Reed Memorial. While it is so sad, you know, that she has passed, I think it's a beautiful way to honor her memory for them to put the time and effort into getting some of the actors that had particularly had a lot of scenes with her back on the show.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting thing. I figured out, I think, I'm the last remaining original family member alive. I know that they had a funeral for John Clark, who played Mickey on the show, but I got that confused, too, because I thought he had passed away, and I called up to ask for Patty, his wife's address, so that I could send the condolence card, and the lady called back and said, oh, he is, and he did not pass away, and oh, boy, was I glad I hadn't done that.
The rumors of his death were greatly exaggerated. Yeah,
Quote,
no, John
yes.
Clark is still with us. It's Mickey Horton that they killed off, or had him die of a stroke, like about 2 months ago.
Oh.
And Maggie Horton had a big funeral, and it was a sort of sad thing. But I think John Clark was retired and really just had no interest in coming back on today. So, yes, I think out of the ones, there aren't too many of the original Hortons left. And it's not just because of the acting, it's because the characters, even the characters of the Horton family aren't around as much, because the show has just changed in so much over the years.
Yeah.
You're going to be going away to Orlando in a few days for the premiere of your movie, Letters to God. Why don't you talk a little bit about this movie?
Well, it's a wonderful little film. It's kind of sad, but it's very uplifting, about a little boy who has cancer, and he writes letters to God. And these letters affect everybody in his surroundings, in his community. And it's really quite a remarkable film. So, and I play the grandmother, the one who has faith, and who thinks everything's going to be as it should be.
Okay, well, it sounds very moving.
Because I'm now playing the grandmothers and the aunties, and those are the roles that Franny played, you know, and I am now of an age to play these, and it's interesting how life turns.
Mm-hmm. So you're sort of inheriting the torch a little bit.
Absolutely, and boy, I'll tell you, it's a very heavy torch, and it has a lot of responsibilities with it. I think Suzanne Rogers was the one who said that when she came on the show, Frances invited her to her dressing room, and she said, "Now, I want to talk to you." She said, "There are 3 things that you must remember when you're on this show. Number 1, always be on time. Number 2, come prepared. In other words, know your lines. And 3, never keep another actor waiting when you're called to the set." And so she said she felt like curtsying and saying, "Yes, ma'am."
So it sounds like she was a real professional.
But she was so wonderful, and she always made, she was such a good actress that she made everybody else come up a notch, up to the mark. She was that kind of performer. Really wonderful.
Well, that's great. So back to this movie. So when you play, you know, you're playing the grandmother of a child
mm-hmm.
who has cancer and is sick,
oh.
and obviously that's got to be a rough role to play. And even though it's a role you're playing,
kids.
I'm sorry.
Those rotten kids made me the very first day I was on the set. The very first day, hello, how are you? My name is Marie Cheatham. How do you do? Then I greet this youngster who has his head shaved and looks kind of, you know, pale and kind of bedraggled and everything. Well, we do the scene where I'm supposed to put the medicine through the stent, and then we do the scene where he dies. And this is the first day. Hello, how are you? Thank you. Boo-hoo. You know, it was terrible. Oh, it was really rough, and to play those scenes they're just intrinsically sad, and it doesn't take any acting, believe me.
Right.
To look down a little boy's body and see him die, it just doesn't take any acting at all.
Gotcha. Well, we're very much looking forward to seeing when this film comes out. So it was filmed in Orlando, correct?
It was, and we filmed it in the hurricane season. And they did a wonderful thing. They had people praying all the time for the shoot, and I thought, well, okay, that's fine. But let me tell you something. If you can shoot a film in Orlando in hurricane season and not be in a hurricane, it makes a believer out of anybody. I thought, okay, fine.
And you were also telling me you're filming yourself. You're filming a documentary.
I am, yes. I had a friend who was a Kaweah Indian. Those are the Indians indigenous to Southern California. And she knew that the basket tradition was being lost because the language was being lost, and the ethnobotany, that's the plants that elders had used all of their lives, was kind of going out of favor, out of use, and things are being forgotten. The culture was being kind of forgotten as it went along, and she was very disturbed by this because it's important to know where you came from so that you can know where you are, frankly. So she wanted to revive the basket tradition, and she did single-handedly. And I was her friend for 20 years, and I would go around when she was demonstrating at different museums, the Gene Autry Museum out here, museums in cities in the South, I would go around and videotape her, and I would ask her, oh, could you just say that again, because I couldn't get the camera to work. You know, I wasn't a very good camera person, but I was going to do this or die trying. So after she passed, I decided that it was important to put this footage to good use, so I'm using that as the basis of the documentary, and we're doing interviews. And now, because of her activity, you know, her, she was very good at what she did, and because she was good at what she did, we have now started the Southern California Basket Weavers Association. In Kaweah, it's called Nekwitim, and it means basket weaver in Kaweah. So we have that, and now we're going to be interviewing the elders, and we're having a basket gathering soon, and we're interviewing people trying to bring the subject to light. You know, why is it important to save the culture or keep the culture alive, and what does it mean to you, and all of those things. So, yeah, we're doing a documentary on that, and I think it's the pilot project because we have others in development. They do a form of singing and accompanying themselves on gourds, and it's called bird songs. Bird songs. And we're going to do a documentary about bird songs, about the gathering, about the archaeology, and about finding, you know, every time they dig a hole in the ground in Southern California, you come across things that were Indian artifacts, and they have people now who are trained to be liaisons between builders and road scrapers and road builders and things like that, so that they can identify the objects and preserve them. It's all very good.
Well, that's very admirable to you know, to work to preserve the culture, and there's also, you know, artistic value to that sort of thing as well. You know,
absolutely. The schools, museums, classrooms, other tribes. My heritage is Creek and Choctaw. My mother was Creek Indian, and my father was Choctaw, and Scots-Irish and Pennsylvania Dutch. So I have a mix, but my basic heritage is Indian, and there wasn't much of the culture at that time to pass to me, because mother was living in a white community, and it wasn't very fashionable, let's say, to be Indian at that time, so I didn't get much of the culture. But my interest has always been in preserving the culture in the ancient ways.
Does this film, so at this point, the documentary is still in progress, or?
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to seeing it when when you finally come to fruition. Yeah, it sounds
thanks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to Days of Our Lives, many of our listeners are long-term Days of Our Lives fans, and us.
Oh, good.
Oh yeah. Well, a lot of us really, you know, in this age of YouTube and such like that, a lot of people who didn't watch the first time around will go on YouTube and try to catch the episodes and the storylines they missed before. So there's, who would have known, you know, in 1965 that some of these stories will still be viewable now.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd heard that Francis Reed, one of the things on YouTube that I see every once in a while that really cracks me up, is they'll show the little blooper episodes of the actors when they forget their lines and they'll totally go out of character. And Frances Reed, she'd forget a line and she would just start cursing like a sailor. And I'd be like, Alice, how can you say that? I've heard she's like a real free spirit
off
real life, that she wasn't really like Alice Horton that much.
No, she's famous for saying, "Oh shit."
I think that may have been what I saw in the blooper.
Yeah. But when she did it, you felt like you had been invited to tea. You know, it wasn't any kind of awful thing from her. It was just funny.
It was. It is funny when you see that. So so how did you first get the role of Marie?
Well, I auditioned for it, and I was cast right at the beginning of the show. And I don't know how I got that lucky, because it has really, working with her was my film school. I had come from stage, and all of a sudden, working on camera was quite a different thing, and she had come from radio. She'd come from the Broadway stage and radio, and hadn't done very much television. So when we used to have rehearsals for the next day's show, we'd have table reads, and we would all sit around. And when she read her lines and played a scene with Mac, or played a scene with me, it was astounding, because she read full out. She never stinted. She always read as she would have played it, which is different from people who mumble and do not say their lines all the way out loud, sometimes in rehearsal. for various reasons. Either they don't think they should, or they're embarrassed, or what, and it's not up on their feet, so it's not really acting yet, or I have no idea. But she played those scenes full out. She taught me how to be on a set, how to act, how to behave on a set. She was amazing. And it was more by example than it was anything else.
So in a way, she was sort of a teacher for you, like showed you the ropes on the soap opera scene.
And it isn't just soap opera scene. I mean, she was a wonderful actress. I don't even think you should classify, even break it down to soap opera. She was just a wonderful actress, a fine, wonderful actress. She had done Ophelia on Broadway, and she played the love interest in Cyrano, Roxanne. And
with Jose Ferrar. I remember that now.
That's my favorite picture of her, because she was absolutely luminous. In the photograph, she was just, oh, good heavenly days, she was wonderful. Yeah, so, and you didn't cross, if you did anything wrong, she would let you know, but very gently, very nicely, but boy gosh, you knew it.
That's what so many of the, especially the actresses from the show, would say about Frances. Often, like you'd hear, like Christian Alfonso or Melissa Reeves or someone say, that Frances would look at them and say, "You're not going to wear your hair like that, are you?" and not in a mean way, but just in a way like, "Well, it's your choice, but it's your funeral, you know." And I mean, I can just see her saying that.
Yeah, very definite opinions. We used to have rehearsals, and then everyone would come to rehearsal and sit at the table, and she would light one of those long brown cigarettes and open the L.A. Times and read it and proceed to give us the benefit of her opinion. That was pretty interesting. she's a marvelous woman.
Well, since we're on the subject, I can't think of Frances Reed without thinking of MacDonald Carey. And I know that you were involved with the scenes of Tom Horton's funeral, were you not?
Yes. Well, I think soaps are the only genre that you can go to people's funerals twice, because you go to their real funeral, and Mac was a very well-known participant in his church. He was Catholic, and he was a member of the Knights of Malta, and he took communion to people on Sundays, and he was really very active and instrumental in his church, and so people showed up to pay attention to his passing. And I remember sitting there with a bunch of other people from days, you know, and then turning back to look when the casket came up the aisle. I turned back, and there were all these people sitting behind me that had worked on days, and I realized this was my family, my professional family. And I saw the casket coming forward, and the Knights of Malta wear capes, black on the outside and red on the inside, a big Maltese cross on their chest. And it was very moving, indeed. And I couldn't help but cry. And then what they had funeral on the show, and of course it was terribly sad, and we all cried all over again. So soaps are the only place that you can have a funeral twice for the same person. It was very odd, very surreal.
I guess sort of the same thing is happening with Frances Reed, because I think just 2 days ago they had the big private funeral for the Days cast members that attended for her. And, of course, and then they're going to go on the air and have the Alice Horton memorial.
For the character. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if they're actually going to have her go, or if they're going to slowly just have her I remember I thought I saw that Ken Corday said that they were going to have her sort of slowly pass away and slowly bring on the characters, but that may have been, I don't know if they've changed their minds or what.
Oh, I had no idea. No one's told me a thing. Of course, the actors are last people to know anything. But but gee whiz, they're going to really, that's fine, all right, that's good. They're really going to do it up, aren't they?
I think so. Well, we have a caller, so let me just try to get this caller on the line here. Hello?
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 Hi.
Hi, who is this?
This is Marianne.
Hi, Marianne. Welcome.
Hi. Hi. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
Hi. Thank
Very
you for
strange
coming.
Thing.
Yes. Thank you for coming and talking with us. It's exciting to have one of the original Hortons to talk to.
Oh, you're welcome. That's nice to be out.
Yeah, well, I started watching the show. I was back in, I think, 1967. I was like about 11. So I can remember a little bit. I can remember a little bit of Carrie, but I've been watching your YouTube, you know, to catch me up on some things. But my question for you, you've played the three different soap characters, Marie, Stephanie, and Charlene. I was wondering, which one of them did you enjoy playing the most and why?
Oh, my. Now, that's a hard question because...
Or did you like them all?
I liked them all because, first of all, everyone just likes to work.
Right.
I never wanted to be a great big star. I just wanted to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so wonderful to play different characters. Now, Marie had... poor Marie had everything done to her. She had... Every awful thing happened to her, and she even fell in love with her brother who had amnesia and plastic surgery and did not remember her. She didn't remember him, and they didn't recognize him either. So it was really weird. I mean, that's just fun stuff to play. But Stephanie Wyatt was a high-toned bitch. She got to do everything that you're not supposed to do and say everything you're not supposed to say, and it gets it all out of your system, and that's terrific.
Oh,
and then Aunt Charlene was just flat out crazy. I didn't tell my aunt, but I because she would really have been offended, but I modeled it after my Aunt Charlene.
Oh, you did. You hear a lot of actors doing that, or, you know, model after somebody that they know.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's more fun to play the bad girl.
The closest you can come to the truth is is better for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a scene on YouTube, speaking of YouTube, of Stephanie from Search for Tomorrow, and you were doing a scene with John Aniston, who is now Victor Kiriakis on Days, but he had this southern accent, and, and I was watching it, and I was like, is this the same guy? He looks the same, but...
I know. Oh, I know. That was wonderful. I saw him just yesterday, I mean Thursday, and he said, he had found this Soap Opera Digest cover that we had been on. And I said, haul that out and let me look at it. I'd like to see that. That'd be great. That's a lot of fun.
I'd like to see that cover, too.
I don't know when it was. I have all those things in a box, and I have to sort of go through, you know, and do the clipping. But I have to find the box first.
So what do you think, you know, since you started the show in 1965, and you've been on it over through the years, off and on, and obviously doing your roles on the other shows. How would you say the acting style is different from being on the show when soaps were relatively not new, but sort of new in the 60s, as opposed to how they would be in the 80s or now?
I really can't speak to that because I don't watch them unless I'm on the show very much. However, the things I have done, the brief appearances I've made since then, it seems to me that the actors are allowed to stop and do retakes of something if they didn't like it very much. And we were never allowed to do that. I mean, if the camera hit the set, hit the edge of the set, and the set wobbled visibly, then they would do a retake. But they would not stop and do a retake simply because somebody couldn't string a whole compound sentence together. That was really no.
Well, it looks like we have another caller, so let me put this person on. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who is this?
Hi, this is Meg.
Hi, Meg. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Great. So you have a question for Marie?
Yes, I do. Hello, Marie.
Hello.
Hi, I was just wondering, what was your favorite moment with Frances Reed on set?
On set? Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you favorite. I can tell you that, though, looking into her eyes and playing a scene, a difficult scene, honestly, that was the greatest bridge to being able to be the best actress I could be, because looking into her eyes was always bedrock. It was grounded. It was it always looked like the truth to me. And what you're trying to do when you're acting is lie, but look like you're telling the truth. So it seemed to me pretty near the truth every time I worked with her, because she could make you believe it. She would just make you believe it. It was wonderful working with her, because there was no nonsense about it. It was very simply, and she made it look easy. I'm told that I am able to do that, but you just said the words like you believed them. And it looks easy, but it's hard.
Well, thank you very much, Marie, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Oh, honey, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Meg. Okay. So I have another question here. Over this past year, there's been a lot of headlines about in the soap world about actors who will walk out on roles because they didn't personally or politically believe in
Good
what
question.
Their character was doing. Have you ever been given a storyline and not like the character direction?
Yeah, sure. Especially when they're going to kill you off. Sure,
what's
yeah.
What's your problem with that? Come on.
What's your problem with that? Honey, we are in the only industry in the world that values how many jobs you've had, that values a lot of jobs. You know, normally in the business world, you have a resume, and you are rewarded for staying someplace for a long time because it looks like you're kind of a stable person. This is the only industry I know of that rewards you for the number of jobs you've had. So, pretty interesting.
That's a good point.
Well, no, I've never been that picky. The only thing I did when I was being given Cancer to play in New York when I was doing Search for Tomorrow, I said, I don't really want to do this, but I will do it if you make it a teaching thing. You know, my father was dying of cancer at the time, and I thought it was pretty mean of him to give me a storyline that I was really experiencing in my real life. But soaps are like that. Soaps can be kind of mean. So I asked them if I could please, you know, alert people to reconstructive surgery or educate people, and they let me do that in the storyline. But I tell you, that was rough.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because Suzanne Rogers, who plays Maggie, obviously, you know, was just now has a storyline where she is getting myasthenia gravis, and she had the storyline in the 80s. And went in remission, and she, of course, I think she has it in real life as well, but then they wanted to bring the storyline back now, so her myasthenia gravis is coming back, and she was also of the same attitude of because I have it myself, I don't want to go ahead and do this storyline unless you're going to use it in a responsible way that teaches people.
Exactly, because it's to look, you know, your health is the only thing you really have, and if you haven't your health, you're really in harm's way. And that's nothing to just screw around with for ratings. I think it's cheap and tawdry. But then, what are we talking about here? This is show business. It's cheap and tawdry time, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, we have another caller. Let me pull up this other person. Hello?
Hello, this is Madeline.
Hi, Madeline.
Hi, Madeline.
Hi, Marie. It's so nice to get to talk to you, and, especially about Days of Our Lives. I didn't get to watch when I was as young as Marianne, so I've gotten to see YouTube clips of you for the first time in the last year and a half, which is really neat. The first time I saw you, you were Charlene on General Hospital.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That
was
where
a wonderful
I remember
character.
You from.
That was lots of fun.
Yeah, she was crazy.
Uh-huh. She was.
And I really wish after watching the clip I saw with you and John Aniston that I could have seen Search for Tomorrow because that character looked just delicious. She looked
delicious. It was. It was just terrific to be able to do all that naughty stuff.
You look like you were having such fun.
I did. I did.
My question are about Dave because I was curious. What was the storyline that you probably had the hardest time playing? I'm curious because you had some really difficult ones.
Falling in love with your brother who has amnesia and plastic surgery and from the war, and you do not remember him nor he recognize you, that's pretty strange. Well, that was pretty strange.
Did you know from the beginning of the storyline that he was going to be your brother?
Yes. And my grandmother used to watch the show, and she said, well, I guess it's all right. You never touched. Because what they would have us do is go to kiss, you know, we're going to act like you're going to kiss, and then they would pan down to our toes, and I would rise up on tiptoe, even though the guy was of my height, but I was instructed to rise up on tiptoe.
I actually have a follow-up question about that storyline. Was that really, for that time, a really scandalous storyline to play? Because
yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the first of the sort of bordering on incest storylines, you know.
Incest, sure. It was incest, pure and simple. And that was a big deal. I guess now with the times they are changing.
Well,
I guess now it wouldn't be.
Yeah, they still have those storylines, but it's become sort of a cliche now. I mean, I don't think they've ever actually had the couples get together. They always find out before. I think they always find out before the big secret, before anything really bad happens. But now it's kind of a cliche. But back then, I think that was a pretty original storyline.
Oh, it was. And then when she did find out, she went to Africa as a medical missionary and came back a raving nun into this Protestant family, which I always thought was peculiar, but never mind. So it's just so silly.
That's soap. Soaps are silly.
Well, I'm curious what kind of did you get letters from the public and what did they say?
Oh, they were very upset. They were really upset.
Mm-hmm.
He's your brother, you awful thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, the whole thing is that we didn't, you know, the character didn't know, so I would always respond. And that's another thing. Frances Reed would never answer her fan mail. I always answered mine. I thought if people were going to write in, the least you could do is at least, you know, answer it.
What did they think of Marie becoming a nun? Did you have any?
Well, I just thought it was too silly for words because they were all
you thought, okay, but I mean, what did the fans say? Do you remember anything?
Well, they thought it was odd. Yes, I thought it was. And the interesting thing is that I said, well, I went to the producers and I said, come on, you're stretching credulity here, because this family has always been Protestant. No one's ever been a Catholic on this. I said, oh, no, 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 no. This is okay because she's wearing blue. And I said, okay. And
instead of blue.
I mean, you just have to sort of leave your sensibilities on the doorstep and just go, oh, okay, fine.
Okay.
Whatever you say. I'll be all right with that. It's just too silly.
Well, this is a follow-up a question with that. When the fans would write you, I know now sometimes fans will get so into their soap opera, they don't realize that they are actors playing the characters. They are not the characters themselves.
Right.
Did you ever, like, get fan letters or meet fans that thought you really were Marie?
Worse than that, when I was playing Stephanie, you know, that naughty girl who got to do everything that you're not supposed to do. Well, I was in the subway one time, and this lady came up to me, and she said, are you Stephanie in the stories? And I said, yes, I am, thinking she'd be so happy to know a soap opera star. Well, she hit me so hard that I lost my balance, and I almost fell into the rails. You know, I almost fell off the platform into the rails. First of all, that's the only time I ever rode the subway. And second of all, I developed this little habit of saying, when people say, say, are you Stephanie on the stories? And I would say, no, but I play that character. That just enough back into reality so that they wouldn't hit you. I mean, hitting is hard. You know, it hurts.
Wow.
Wow, that answers that question. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some people really do just believe this. And you know, there was a time when people would schedule their classes, you know, in between them for their favorite soaps, so they could eat lunch
right.
at their favorite soaps.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that. I
now we just
sure
tape
my
it.
Classes
and fast
were
forward.
All very early, so I could come
yeah,
home.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now with TiVo and everything, it's all different.
Yeah,
but thank you very
it.
Much. That's great.
You know, it was better than sitting around at school in the afternoon and doing homework with a bunch of people who didn't care to be there anyway. That's more fun.
So did you have, what was your favorite storyline to play as Marie?
As Marie?
Yes.
I think just because it was so silly, that thing about falling in love with your brother who had amnesia and plastic surgery from the war and did not remember you, no, you recognize him. I mean,
that's the one everyone knows about. That's when people say yes. Marie, and the ones who remember the character or know the history of the show,
uh-huh.
that storyline's the one that always
yeah, that's, mm-hmm.
is
the really?
So, mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's yes, so. You know.
It's too sad. Well, now look, if you take all the other storylines, when all the babies have been returned to the rightful mothers and all of the kidnapped people have turned out to be not kidnapped, you know, and all these ice storm fantasy things, you know, all of it stretches credulity. I mean, it's
uh-huh.
just all silly. But it's great fun to play. But don't ask me to
great
be serious.
Great fun to watch.
Great fun to watch, but it's you know, I have a tendency to laugh when I shouldn't, and it's gotten me in trouble before, because I laugh at something that somebody else is taking very seriously, so but I can't help it. I mean, I just can't help it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've always been curious about, especially recently because of the scripts, I just can only imagine what the actors must think when they get them. Did you guys ever have any of that back when,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Early,
I mean,
you get the scripts and you'd be reading them maybe, you know, on the set with the other actors, and you guys would just be laughing your heads off. Or
laughing and rolling our eyes and saying, you have to be kidding. Nobody's going to believe this stuff. And sure enough, you'd be playing it the next day. Oh, and here's another thing, too. I developed the habit of learning just the next day's lines. Because one time, I found myself in the middle of the scene going, is this what I say today, what I said yesterday, or what I'm supposed to say tomorrow? Because I'd gotten it confused. And it's a terrible feeling. So I just tried to only read the scripts a day ahead. But then you never know if you're being killed off that way. So you're the last to know. You know, you just have to also keep a sense of humor about it. I mean, come on. I can remember my first television set. And I knew that the UN wasn't going to meet on any of these issues. And the people kind of take themselves really seriously now on the show. Are we okay?
I think we're okay. Does someone have something going on in the background who's on air right now?
I don't think so.
No?
Okay. Yeah, I heard a little something in the background, but it seems to have gone away now, so.
Okay. But the point I'm making is that I don't take myself or anything too seriously anymore because it's sort of detrimental if you do.
What is your favorite, you've done so much in the way of prime time and film and theater and daytime. Which of those do you prefer to work with?
Well, they're all so different and for different reasons. Like on stage, you get an immediate response to what you're doing, saying, talking about, because you connect with the audience. And it's a visceral thing. You can feel it. It's palpable. You can feel it in the room when you're really connecting with an audience. It's wonderful to hear them laugh right away when you've said something funny. Are when you've done your job right, or you know, it's but you have to be a little larger on stage. But in television and in film, you can be smaller, and just the smallest raise of your eyebrow or intake of breath can indicate something that it would be difficult to translate on stage, because you'd have to do a bigger movement for them to see it in the back row. So everything is a little different. I enjoy working on stage because of the immediacy. There's a lot of waiting around, too. Now, if you're doing a film, oh, my law, not everything gets shot as it happens. You can be doing a scene from the beginning of the film and from the end of the film. Oh, here's a perfect example, Letters to God. We were doing a scene from the end of the film the very first day. And I think they wanted to go ahead and get that over with so that we wouldn't be dreading it all the time that we were down there working on it. But it's difficult to come in and say, oh, hello, how are you? Nice to know you. You're dying, I see. Boo-hoo, you know. And sometimes you have an arc that you're playing throughout a piece, like a film. It's difficult to remember if you're doing the first day shooting, you're playing the end of the film, and then the second day you're playing something in the middle of the film. And so you have to remember in your own head some way where you are in the storyline so that your intensity can be correct. Do you understand?
That's very difficult.
Yeah,
it is. That's where a good director comes in. He is there to remind you where you were when you left off, you know, so that you can keep an arc going. Any good piece of entertainment has a beginning, a middle where the story develops, a denouement where it comes to a fruition, comes to a head, and an ending, which is releases you from that tension. And so you're supposed to build tension from the beginning through the middle and accentuate it at the denouement or the of the piece, and then release it at the end. And that makes everybody feel like they've eaten a good meal, you know, they're full. Is that clear?
That's a good way to put it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it all you it different genres give you different abilities to do those things, different opportunities to exercise sort of a different muscle in your craft.
And that's what must make soap so difficult is that, you know, when you're doing a soap, you don't really know where the if you don't know where the story's going, you don't know where the ending of that storyline is.
Exactly.
So you don't know how to plan. You don't know how to plan that. You just sort of have to go from day to day and just go with it, right?
Exactly. So that is very difficult to do. Yeah. And sometimes, oh, and here's another thing that's different now. We used to have scenes that were like a whole minute and a half long, and now they don't do that because now they put like three different storylines, bits of three different storylines in that one first act. So that it appears that more is happening, like a lot is happening. Well, it's the same amount of stuff happening. It's just that it appears more because they've crammed all these little sound bites into the first act.
Of which none of the sound bites really have anything happening. Not a whole lot.
Well, I know, but doesn't
watching.
It look? Yeah, but doesn't it look like there's a lot happening?
It looks like there's a lot, but when you watch it, it doesn't feel like there's a lot.
Right. It's very interesting. Yeah. See, that they think that fools the eye. Well, you know, thinking people can see beyond it, but it's also like these talking head shows, like some television shows that are like detective stories. They'll move the camera very quickly around people standing here talking. Well, that's supposed to make us feel like there's a lot going on. Well, no, it's just two people standing there talking, you know. And we are fooled into, the eye is fooled into thinking, oh, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, they seem to think that they can use special effects for more things than will work for.
I know. Yeah. You know, there are only so many ways to tell a story. So,
Marie, would you go back to a soap opera or even these new web series soap operas if you were asked? You think?
Oh, well, probably. I haven't been asked,
yeah.
You know.
Oh,
I don't know. I really don't know. There is some parts of it are attractive. Of course, everybody wants to work every day. I just wanted to work every single day of my life as an actress. That's really all I wanted out of life. And soaps are a great way to do that.
Right.
But I'm now in the age range where I'm playing grandmothers and aunties, and those characters are few and far between on shows. So I don't know if I would be asked even.
Marie, when we were before we were going on air, you were telling me about how back like when you first started days that the soaps were helping the news ratings.
Oh well.
Tell us more about that.
We paid for the news. I mean, when soaps were in the heydays when there were a lot of soaps on, we made a lot of money for the network and the news lost a lot of money for the network. But now the news has become more entertainment than anything else. it's entertaining enough, I suppose, I think. So it's sort of switched. You know, the news now pays for itself. But when we were first on the air, we carried the news. We were like the stepchildren of the industry because we did not have daytime awards when I first came on the air, back in the days when Days of Our Lives started, there were no daytime awards for soaps. We would just sort of quietly go to work and go home and make dinner, you know.
Well, I see we have another caller, so I'm going to go ahead and put this caller on here.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi,
this is Anna.
Hi, Anna. Hi. I was just really excited to get to talk to you. I've been enjoying the interview so much that I hated to stop and call. So hello from Kansas, and also hello from Germany. My friend B said, be sure to say hello. I'm a fan of Days from the 80s, so I didn't get to see you on the show. But in my preteen years, I watched Search for Tomorrow. And honestly, you and Lisa Peluso are the only things I remember from that show, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I guess ever since then, whenever I see you on something or just hearing your voice on the interview today, I just have a very warm feeling, you know, toward you. I guess you were part of my growing up years. I don't know. But
very kind of you, yes.
And I just have been fascinated by the interview. I've really enjoyed it. And I was just wondering, have you been in touch with Lisa? Do you guys ever communicate or get together?
Yes, I feel toward her. She feels toward me like I feel toward Franny, Frances Reed.
I
played her mother.
Yes.
On the show. Yeah, and she learned everything she knew from me. And
that's
it's a very funny thing too, because when I watched her later on. On shows, I could watch her come in and do the Betty Davis or the Loretta Young turn at the twirl at the door, or when I would do my homage. I loved playing Stephanie Wyatt because I could do my homage to all the big, larger than life women that
right.
I loved in films. So one day I'd do Betty Davis, another day I'd do Loretta Young, another day I was doing my version of Katharine Hepburn in another day.
Have fun.
You know, all those ladies. And we just love to do that. And then it's so wonderful to watch Lisa playing me, playing those ladies.
Yeah,
it was really funny.
Yeah, and she's actually in Gotham right now. I just saw a clip. Somebody sent me a clip of her on that just a little bit ago because we were talking about the interview with you. And she did something similar to that in one of those scenes, so I'm just kind of laughing about that right now. That's cute. Well, you know, you ought to see, you were just talking about the web series and things like that. You ought to connect and see if you can get on that show. Well, that would be great to see you guys on screen together again.
That would be wonderful. What an idea.
Yeah, but anyway, well, I just am very glad to get a chance to talk with you, and I'm glad you did this interview, and looking forward to seeing the movie. It looks great. I saw the trailer and looks like
Oh, you did?
Yeah. The Diva had it posted on her site, so I saw that when
That's
I came
lovely.
Here.
That's lovely.
So,
well,
yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I had
and
no idea.
Yeah, so thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear. It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Anna.
Bye, Anna.
This is a lot of fun.
Nice.
Hello.
Yeah, because it seems like now, you know, with the soap operas getting lower and lower ratings, and we're seeing Guiding Light off the air, and As the World Turns is going to be off the air, and it seems like, you know, there's becoming less and less of an audience, and the networks are less willing to produce the soap operas, but a lot of the actors from the soaps are branching out on their own and starting their own web series, and, Crystal Chappelle from Days has started Venice, and Martha Byrne, that Anna just spoke about, started Gotham, and so that may very well be sort of I don't know if it's a wave of the future, but certainly a change in the direction of where soaps are going, I think.
Right. Now, what is Gotham?
Gotham is a web series that Martha Byrne...
Is Lisa on it?
Yes, I believe she is.
Wow.
Well, Martha Byrne...
I have no idea.
From As the World Turns... She used to be on As the World Turns, and she started her own web soap. I believe she produces it and stars in it, and there's they're a little bit different than how, you know, daytime would be on TV, because it's not an hour episode every day. It's more like, I don't know, 5 to 7 minutes a week, let's say, because apparently, you know, it's a self-produced. They don't have all the money that a network would give to produce the show. But they're getting to be followers because, you know, people will follow their actors that they like wherever.
Wow,
so that's something you should look into if you're interested in web shows, because I do think that's going to become more and more popular, especially, you know, if the soaps continue to go in this downward direction.
Yeah. Well, since I want to work every day, that'd be interesting.
You should look into it.
I think I will.
Yeah.
Would you have any idea, that just having seen what you have? I mean, I know you don't watch the soaps anymore, you said, but do you have any idea, having been sort of an insider with being cast on these shows, as to why perhaps the soaps aren't doing as well as they used to?
Well, other uses of television. You know, I watch old movies when I'm at home, and I have Netflix, and I would rather see movies than most of the shows that are on television. Also, I TiVo shows and watch them at my own convenience. I think other uses of television. Also, I think what is happening here, now this is my own opinion about this, I think that the news has gotten away from being news, and it is now entertainment. And people would rather watch someone haranguing somebody and being outrageous than watching something of good quality. Also, I think you'd never go broke underestimating the American public, just like D.T. Barnum said all those years ago. I really think that it's... we're dumbing down, although sometimes with some plots on soaps, I don't know how you could get any dumber, but anyway, but at any rate, I think that things have changed all over the country, and the country, everything's changed since, of course, 9/11, and the country is in need of knowing on the instant, you know, breaking news and, you know, what's going to happen. And you know, everything is like being whipped up in a frenzy to keep us scared, rattled, off guard, off balance even. The times have changed so that the things that happen on, I mean, nothing in the world is as strange to me as the news and what happens on the news. The soaps couldn't even begin to compete with what happens on the news these days. I think that there's a lot that goes in, just a whole bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about the demise of soaps, it's almost the fact that soaps used to be the most outrageous thing on television. Now the news is the most outrageous thing on television.
Very well said. So that's a good idea.
And reality
good point.
Shows, too.
Yeah.
Reality shows.
My God, no. Don't get me started. And poor old Mary Ellen's Bynum.
Listen, we only have 90 seconds left of our show, but it was a wonderful talk.
It went fast. Yes.
Yeah, it went very fast.
You were a delight, Marie.
You were.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so
Thank you
much.
For having me.
Well, we very much look forward to seeing you back on the show once you start filming on Days again, and we'll get to see Marie back. And good luck with your
older.
Film.
Considerably older. Thank you very much, dear.
Yeah,
it happens to us all, you know.
yes, sadly. Okay, well...
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the idea.
Oh, sure. Well, I look forward to seeing you on that web series now.
All right.
Okay.
I look forward to your documentary. It sounds very interesting.
Thank you, my dear.
And the movie.
Thank you very much.
And the movie looks good.
Thank you. Good.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.